All right, buddy. If you're not doing anything on Saturday, there's plenty of SEC spring games this week. Eight of them, to be exact. I feel like every single one of them are at the exact time. But we're going to break down one of the most important ones, if not the most important spring game for this Saturday. That is the Georgia G-Day game. And joining me is my guy, Palmer Thomas. You can check him out over at Dogs HQ, part of the On3 Network. And Palmer, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It's an interesting time of year where – you know, you've got football spring practice that's wrapping up. Basketball season, you know, goes into March and April. And, you know, baseball here in the Southeast is certainly something that's got a lot of attention. And then, oh, by the way, if you're in the Peach State, you got a little bit of a big golf tournament this weekend too. So just a little bit there. So it's going to be interesting to see the turnout that we have Saturday, in Athens. Not only are they doing – some stadium renovations. So I think half of it is probably going to be blocked off. That was the case last season as well, but also add in the fact that you've got a lot of folks that, you know, whether they're donors, whether they're just dads that want to be sitting on the couch, there's probably going to be a couple of eyes down on that, that big golf tournament.
Yeah, it is a big weekend for everything going on. It's like, you know, it's the NCAA tournament ends and boom, we jump right into the Masters, another big thing going
on. No downtime. I mean, I know Jim Nance isn't doing the Final Four anymore, but man, that was what a life he was living where he was doing NCAA tournament right into going down to Augusta. So, yeah, it's a fun time. It's a fun time to be a sports fan. Right after this, two weeks from tonight as we're recording, or 2 weeks from tomorrow as this gets published, NFL draft is right there.
You got to think, especially for Jim Nance, I don't want to go back on that. Even the years where CBS got the Super Bowl. So you're doing Super Bowl, the NCAA tournament, and then Masters. Some would argue maybe the three biggest sporting events in this country overall. Yeah. He was living a charmed life, but I guess he had to give up the basketball stuff. And this will be I know we didn't even plan on talking about any of this. Vern Lundquist, this will be his final Masters.
Somebody who's near and dear to the SEC. So yeah, now that obviously I think fans have been holding on to, you know, tuning into the Masters and hearing his voice. Obviously somebody that's holds a special place in a lot of hearts are in this part of the country.
Yeah, so let's open it to Georgia football. And obviously last season, 13-1. I think 99.9% of the country would say we go 13-1. That was tremendous year, but obviously a disappointment for Georgia. Undefeated in regular season, get beat by Alabama, SEC championship game. Did not get into the playoff. I'll argue, and I'm sure you probably agree with that. If you just want to say the four best teams, that whole argument, if you're saying Georgia wasn't one of the four best teams, I don't know what y'all were talking about last year, but still going into the spring. And this is not like, obviously, the G-Day game, the spring game is this Saturday, but just kind of going into the spring, kind of rewind a little bit as Georgia was getting ready for spring practice. What were like the big things you were wanting to see out of this Georgia team?
I think the biggest thing is the return of Carson Beck. And obviously that is, when you're able to get a starting quarterback back, it's just become such a springboard into your offseason. You know, listening to Kirby Smart this spring, he talked about how big of a factor that was and, you know, that they really needed that decision to happen so that they could then start moving on either A, to go look into their options and explore transfer portal quarterbacks, or B, build around the fact that they've got potentially the top signal caller in the entire country. They go with option B. Carson decides that he's going to return for a second year as a starter. We saw the strides that Georgia's offense made with a second year of Stetson Bennett as a starter, a full offseason working with the ones, being the guy, having the offensive coordinator, and we talk about Mike Bobo coming back for another year. It's another year of comfort for him. And so that quarterback coordinator relationship that there is, they are so tied together. And so now there's a full year of experience and a full year of comfort together to build on. And, you know, Georgia was able to take that big news that came down mid-December amidst the disappointment of missing out on the SEC championship and you know, missing out on the college football playoff, they were able to take that big news and turn it into, you know, some big transfer portal news. They had three newcomers among pass catchers that are here this spring. They'll add a fourth in a tight end this summer. They add an SEC caliber, high, you know, skilled running back from Florida. You know, five new guys on the offensive side of the ball. That to me is, you know, probably the other biggest storyline of this spring is just how are they going to go about replacing Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, two guys that have a potential to be first round picks. You know, because you look at this defense and they've got a lot that comes back. The offense also has a lot that comes back, but the big pieces are the ones that have got to be replaced. And so, you know, how do they go about doing that? Well, part of it was addressing the needs of those two positions in the transfer portal. Like I said, they go out and they get a skilled tight end. They go out and they get three transfer portal wide receivers to fill those holes. And, you know, now I think that you throughout this spring, we've heard a lot of buzz about the offense. And so you're just looking to see the strides that this group has made, not just this spring, but, you know, as they go into and continue to build on what they did in 2023.
Yeah. So now fast forward as spring practice has gone on, as we go into G-Day, what is something that has, I don't know, surprise is the right word, but, you know, yeah, maybe a surprise that you've heard or seen coming out of spring practice?
You know, I think the biggest surprise for me this spring probably has been Arian Smith seemingly finding a little bit of consistency. You know, he's a guy that's in his fifth year with the program. He has been a major contributor. We've seen him have his massive moments, you know, obviously the touchdown in the college football playoff semifinal against Ohio State to get Georgia right back in that game. That's a moment that'll go down in history, you know, and if he doesn't make another play for Georgia, he goes down in history for that. But I think that, you know, his overall career story has been he's been hurt. He's battled injuries. When he's been on the field, he's been consistent. That was at least the case the first 3 years. Well, this past year, Arian had his healthiest season and his least productive season. And so it caused you to scratch your head a little bit and say, is this guy cut out to play in the SEC? You know, not only can he not stay healthy, but then when he does stay healthy, he's not really producing. This spring, I think he's answered some of those questions. And look, you know, I said it today over at Dogs HQ. If Arian Smith has a great spring and a great G-Day and, you know, blows it out of the park, it doesn't mean anything because, you know, you want to see it this fall. But I think that the signs of him consistently doing it and being, you know, a name that has popped up over the course of 5 weeks and not just, you know, hey, this kid made a play here, this kid made a play there. He's consistently being among the players that are being mentioned. And so I think that that's been one of the bigger surprises of the spring to me. The other would also be in that wide receiver room, and it's Colby Young. And I don't know that I'm surprised by this, but I think it is certainly one of the biggest storylines. I was bullish on Colby and the potential that he can bring to this UGA wide receiver room, you know, transfer from Miami, where he was a productive player for 2 years there in the ACC. He brings something, and this has been the biggest thing that I've harped on with Young, you know, in this Georgia receiver room, is he brings something that they didn't necessarily have and they haven't had in quite some time. He was listed as 6'5" at Miami. Georgia has him listed at 6'3". He does not look 6'3". You know, we've seen him. He definitely looks more closer to 6'5". So if you want to middle it out there and call him 6'4", I feel comfortable calling him, you know, close to 6'5". Either way, Georgia hasn't had a go up and get it type guy like that maybe since George Pickens. And you know, obviously Pickens' last year, he was, you know, banged up and battling coming back from an ACL injury. It's been a while. You know, Lawrence Cager might be the last one. You go back to that 2019 season and ironically another transfer from Miami. So I'm excited to see him on Saturday. I think that has been the biggest, you know, maybe the biggest storyline of the spring, But the biggest surprise, those two go hand in hand. It's been that wide receiver room and the emergence of both Colby Young as a newcomer and Arian Smith that's been around the program, but is starting to gain a little bit of traction and find some consistency.
Yeah, and that room has a new coach, James Coley, coming back to the university. He was there from 2016, 2019, 2018, co-office coordinator. 2019, he was the offensive coordinator. And that's got to be a big thing for Kirby Smart, too, because now you bring in a guy, look, you worked with a guy, you brought him in when you got hired at Georgia. So somebody you're familiar with that knows how you run your program. So you're not having to teach somebody how you run things, how your program runs. So kind of interesting bringing him back and to see how the impact he has on that group.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that sometimes a player like Arian, you know, is somebody that has heard the same message over and over and over again. Sometimes a fresh perspective on things, you know, kind of gives you a new lease on life. And so, you know, that I think that's exciting. I think on the defensive side of the ball, bringing in somebody that hasn't been around the program, but has been around A, coaches of the program, and B, programs like this program. You know, T-Rob, Travaris Robinson in the secondary to replace Will Muschamp. Obviously, those two spent a lot of time together, and Kirby and Will have spent a lot of time together. But then T-Rob was at Alabama, and so he was in a Nick Saban, Kirby Smart type defense. He knows what the expectations are at a program like Georgia. That's another huge addition. You know, Georgia brings in four new assistant coaches this offseason. After last year, there were zero new assistants to the program. Obviously, Mike Bobo was replacing Todd Monken, but he was a upgrade, you know, or a promotion within the staff, you know, from analyst to coordinator. These four guys are coming from outside the program. You've got Josh Crawford, who's coming from Georgia Tech. You know, and is going to be, he was the wide receivers coach at Georgia Tech. He interviewed for the wide receivers coach position at Georgia, ends up getting the running backs coach to replace Dale McGee, who's now at Georgia State. Obviously, James Coley, like we mentioned, replacing Brian McClendon, now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. T-Rob replacing Will Muschamp. Muschamp is staying with the program, but it, stepping down into an analyst role, wants to enjoy some family time. His youngest son is going to be a true freshman quarterback at Vanderbilt. And so he wants to be able to experience Saturdays up in Nashville, just like he did, you know, as a father for his older son, Jackson, who has been on the team here in Athens for the last few years. And then you're bringing in Dante Williams in the secondary as well to coach cornerbacks, replacing Fran Brown, now the head coach at Syracuse. So a lot of new faces, and I think that that has been, you know, another storyline of the spring. But I think that a lot of those guys, Dante was here for the bowl prep. T-Rob has been at programs like Georgia. James Coley has been at Georgia. You know, I would say Josh Crawford probably had the most to learn because he was coming from, you know, Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky, and that was his background. But at the same time, he also has a background of high school coaching in the state of Georgia. So he knows what it takes to, you know, be around this part of the country.
I'll tell you what, it just popped in my head. You're talking about T-Rob. You know, his alma mater is Auburn. He is not making them people happy. He was coaching at Alabama. Now he's coaching at Georgia. I mean, he's just hitting on all the rivals.
And he's been at Florida. Did he make a trip back to Auburn briefly with Muschamp there?
He did. The 1 year Muschamp was at Auburn. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The year Auburn was supposed to put the world on fire, the Gus Malzahn, Will Muschamp. The funny thing about that year, though, for Auburn, though, was the defense was the strength. It wasn't the offense. Because everybody said, because that was off the Nick Marshall seasons, right? You know, they said, man, if Auburn gets a defense, look out with the Gus Malzahn offense. And then that was the I believe that was the Jeremy Johnson season.
That's what I was just thinking. I was just looking up to see the Jeremy Johnson Heisman hype. We were talking about that here recently.
Yeah. No joke. He is playing in the Mexican American Football League. He won an undefeated team last year, won a championship. I follow all things football, and I actually caught some games on YouTube last year. Well, we know what the talent level is not that good, probably down in Mexico, but still, he went undefeated, won a championship. So he's having some football success. Let's talk about Okay, I want to start with Brock Bowers. You mentioned a little bit the question. I mean, obviously, you look at the offense, the centerpiece of the offense when he was healthy, Brock Bowers. And I still say this, and Alabama fans are about to get mad at me, anybody listening to this or watching this. I honestly believe healthy Brock Bowers, Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game. That's just my feeling on that one. Alabama fans, you know where to find me, at P. Jordan SEC.
And Alabama fans would throw out the Jameson Williams right back at the Georgia fans.
I know.
Maybe that's evened out a little bit.
Yeah, I honestly don't hear that as much now since they said, well, you know, the other side of it, well, it was hit too. But Oscar Delp, you know, you see he's the guy coming back. And you think, okay, he's going to be the guy that steps in that role, but you also to bring in a transfer. How do you see Georgia working with that, with the tight end position, with Brock Bowers now gone off to the NFL?
You know, I think it's – we don't really know yet because Ben Jurecek, the kid from Stanford, is graduating from Stanford this summer. So he still has not been on campus and been with the team. So how is he going to fit in? I think, you know, based on what he did at Stanford, I think he's going to fit in just fine. I think that he's going to fit into that Brock Bowers role, and you're going to see Oscar Delp continue to play the Oscar Delp role. And I think that Oscar Delp in that secondary tight end, bigger blocking threat, a guy that has really bought into that, you know, in having to replace Darnell Washington last year, that's where he made his name, you know, and really bought into the fact that he had to develop as a blocker. So, you know, I think that they will expand that role. And, you know, Oscar's best games came when Brock was not healthy. That makes sense. You know, I think that he is certainly a capable receiving tight end. But I think that Ben Jurecek is going to kind of take over that Brock Bowers role. Interested to see what Lawson Lucky does. He's somebody that had a big spring last year, was a true freshman, you know, in his first couple of months last year, was on his way to a big fall camp before suffering an ankle injury that required surgery. He came back. He was behind. You know, he had a lot of confidence that he had to regain. So I'm interested to see what he can do with the full offseason and, you know, getting back to full health and again, more opportunity in that tight end room. Look, the tight end position is still going to be a very important part of Georgia's offense. And I think that they have shown that through the way that they recruit. They are going to continue to make that tight end position important. Whether it's Oscar Delp or Ben Jurecek or Lawson Lucky, they are going to find a way to keep that position involved because it just creates mismatches. When you have guys that are that big and that athletic, it makes life really, really tough on the defense.
And, you know, you talk about receiver and you talk about Trevor Etienne coming in. That's a big get. I mean, over 700 yards. And he was sharing the role at Florida. At running back, 14 touchdowns. We've seen what he can do. But Carson Beck, I mean, last year was impressive. And look, I'm going to go back to the Auburn game last year. I think that was a growing up game.
No doubt. You're
in Jordan Hare, hostile environment. I mean, Auburn had them on the ropes. And then they're in the fourth quarter just making the throws, bringing Georgia back. I mean, yes, Brock Bowers, big part of that. But still, he's got to get the ball to Brock Bowers. And he did not fold. I mean, throw an interception early in the game. In that situation, we've seen a lot of young quarterbacks just fold up in that moment, but he didn't. He came out and he made the plays. And as the year went on, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, I think, and obviously a guy that, you know, he could have went pro, but he's coming back. What's been the biggest things you've seen out of Carson Beck where he's grown? And now we're going into this next coming football season. He's going to be one of the guys we're going to talk about for the Heisman Trophy.
It's the confidence. And I think a lot of it, you're right to circle back to that Auburn game because that was his first road start. That was the first time that he really faced adversity there. You know, I guess Georgia trailed against South Carolina, but it never really felt like Georgia was going to lose that game. There was a lot of feeling that Georgia could lose to Auburn. Because of that road atmosphere, because of how tough it is to play on the plains. You know, and I felt like that, like you said, that was an opportunity for him to grow up. That was an opportunity for that team to grow up. You know, and Georgia's going to have opportunities to grow up this year. You know, guys that are stepping into those bigger roles, to whether it's to replace Brock Bowers or to replace guys in the secondary where they've got three off to the NFL with Kamari Lassiter and Tyke Smith and Javon Bullard. You know, guys are going to have to grow up all around this Georgia team. When you're as talented as UGA has been and you are putting as much into the NFL as UGA is doing on an annual basis, guys are constantly having to grow up. And also guys that, you know, are stepping up for other guys that have transferred off to other places. You know, but for Carson specifically, I think that just that confidence has grown. And I fully expect it to continue to grow. You know, again, I go back on what I said about Georgia and that jump from 2021 to 2022 offensively. Stetson Bennett was so much more comfortable and so much more confident that he was the guy. I don't know that Carson questioned that he was the guy as much, because he's certainly physically capable of making those plays. You showed that time and time again last year. You know, so I don't think that there was as much doubt with Carson. But I think that, you know, just another year of comfort, another year of growing into that leadership role, it's only going to help this Georgia offense. And I think that, you know, again, like I said, there might be growing pains early on having to figure out an identity, replacing a guy like Brock Bowers that has been the identity of this Georgia team the last 3 years. But I think that, again, they've got the talent and they've got a quarterback that, when you've got a guy like that, he can bring that confidence and you know, make guys believe that they are capable of doing it. It helps, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, it helps to have the players around him. You know, but I think that so much is put on the weight is put on the shoulders of that quarterback to make the plays. And, you know, knowing that you've got a guy like that, you know, if you're a skill player, a perimeter player for Georgia, it's a lot easier to step into, you know, that kind of a role than it is the one where all eyes are on you at quarterback. And so I just expect the confidence to be, you know, exponentially better for Carson this year. You know, and I think that it'll take time for him to develop, you know, the chemistry and the comfort level with some of these new guys. That's what spring practice is about. That's what this summer is about. That's what those early games are going to be about. Now, it's not like Georgia, you know, eases into this its schedule as much as it is, as much as it did last year. You've got Clemson in the opener. You've got a road game at Kentucky early on. Oh, by the way, you have Alabama in the first month of September there. You know, Texas is in your first half of the season. It's not like Georgia's easing into things, but when you have a quarterback that has been around the block like Carson has been, I'd feel a lot more confident about this team and this offense specifically going into 2024 with that confidence.
Yeah, and you hear it all the time, you know, NFL level, and I think it's that way in college too. A team that has that guy quarterback, when you're in those tough games, it's a fourth quarter tie game, or maybe you're down, or you're maybe barely up in the game. If you got that guy, it gives confidence to the rest of the team. Hey, we are going to win this game. So like you said, a team like Clemson, you're going to Tuscaloosa, going to Texas. If any of those games are dicey going into the fourth quarter, you got to look at this team. It's like, okay, yeah, we're down, and it's not been the way we wanted to go, but we've got that guy behind center.
You're going to be able to look at Carson Beck, and there's not going to be any fear, any doubt in his eyes that he is capable of making the plays to get Georgia either back in that game or get Georgia over the top in that game.
Yeah, so that is a very, very exciting part of this football team. Defensively, you know, we've spent a lot of time on offense. I've kept you a few minutes longer than I said. I think we always go a little longer than what we initially planned. I know for me, a couple things I mentioned with Georgia. Michael Williams going from defensive end, at linebacker, that's an interesting thing. And then the secondary, you lose Kamari Lassiter, you lose Javon Bullard in your secondary. Obviously got, you know, Starks and Everett coming back. What are you going to be paying most attention to with the defense? What's the biggest storyline, do you think, there?
Yeah, I think for Saturday specifically, it's you've got to grade this defense on a curve because they are going to be without Smile Mundon, who's an All-American caliber inside linebacker. You're going to be without Malachi Starks, who is an All-American at safety, potentially the best defensive back in the country. I think you grade those guys on a curve a little bit, knowing that, hey, you're a guy that makes a lot of things right is not going to be there. And so if things go wrong, not to mention the fact that you're going up against a quarterback like Carson and that offense that we've been talking about for 20 minutes now, they're going to get tested. They're going to get beat. Not to mention it's an air show. That's what G-Day turns into. That's what all these spring games turn into. You don't necessarily want to put the tread on the tires. You don't want to wear down the tread on the tires in a game like this with those offensive linemen and those running backs and just the physicality that it takes to run the football. So Georgia is going to be asking the quarterbacks to throw a lot. That's also asking these young secondary to make plays and to do it consistently. And so I look at, you know, Julian Humphrey and Daniel Harris, two guys that both flirted with the transfer portal, both decided to come back to Georgia. They are competing for that cornerback spot opposite of Daylon Everett. I'm excited to see the kind of jump that Everett takes. I think at a lot of times last year, he caught some criticism. But you know, again, when you're opposite of Kamari Lassiter, teams aren't going to throw it a potential, first round, day two NFL draft pick. They're going to throw it the guy that's in his first five career starts. So I'm excited to see what Daylon Everett does. Talk about that confidence, just the amount that you're able to gain over the course of a full season, coming back, knowing that you're capable of doing it. Interested to see how that kind of works in the secondary. Georgia is more than willing to rotate guys, especially when you've got as many as they do. Do we see the 2 5-star freshmen that are in the secondary and KJ Bolden and Ellis Robinson? Janelle Aguero is somebody that had a lot of excitement about him coming out of high school just a couple of years ago. And now he's, stepping into a spot where he is going to be one of the guys, whether it's at safety or at star. Georgia is going to be counting on him. So very, very interested to see kind of how that secondary plays out. You mentioned Mykel Williams at linebacker. The linebacker position, on the inside, you've got, again, Smile Mundon is coming back. He won't be there. CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson played a lot of snaps last year as true freshmen. Excited to see their development. Jalen Walker is somebody that plays on the inside, but also, is a little bit of a hybrid guy. He calls himself, he's not an OLB, he's not an ILB, he's an HLB. He's a hybrid linebacker. And Georgia, he likes that. He likes that role. He's able to do a lot of things. So I'm excited to see, again, Georgia, another year of using him in that kind of role and the kind of confidence and comfort that he gains from it. But, the opportunities that it creates for Mykel Williams as he potentially drops back more. I will say this. I'm a little skeptical about the Mykel Williams situation until we see it playing out consistently, because Georgia did this with Trayvon Walker. Georgia recruited Mykel pitching, linebacker as part of the plan for him. He's had his hand in the dirt a lot, and majority of the time. And I would still imagine he's going to have his hand in the dirt a lot. He told us this spring his primary position coach is still Trey Scott, Georgia's defensive line coach. He's still working and with the defensive linemen majority of practice. I think somebody as skilled as him, they're going to try to – in first and second downs, when run stopping situations are there, they're going to try and put his hand in the dirt and have him play that line of scrimmage. But then I think that when Georgia has been moving him inside to pass rush from the interior, maybe you let a guy like that stay out on the edge some. And so that's where that outside linebacker type situation comes in. But, whether it's him, whether it's Damon Wilson, who was another 5-star at that position, Georgia's got a lot of options. I think that they are going to be much, much better rushing the passer, with those guys. And then a veteran group on the defensive line. It's a group that, I would say I've got a little bit of doubt about, but I think at the same time, some of the expectations of Georgia fans and folks that watch this team on a, you know, very frequent basis, they might be, the expectations might be raised a little bit because of what we saw in 2021 and what we saw with Jalen Carter. You know, the last two seasons prior to 2023, you had four first round defensive linemen in Jordan Davis, Trayvon Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Jalen Carter. Georgia didn't have that in 2023. And I'm not sure that they have that in 2024 either. But they're going to have experience. They're going to have veterans, guys that have been in those roles. And so how much do those guys grow and how much do the guys behind them continue to develop to potentially make that room that much better? Those are the storylines on the defense. You know, again, I think that G-Day, spring games, it's really hard to judge the defense because so they are put in situations that they probably aren't being put in, you know, on a regular basis during a game, just because it's not realistic. You're not rushing the passer, you know, full speed ahead and taking down a quarterback. You're not facing the run as much as you would. So, you know, add all that onto the fact that you're going to have two All-American caliber starters on that defense that won't be suiting up. I'm judging this defense on the curve on a curve Saturday.
Yeah, and in that end of the day, these spring games are for the fans. Because I heard them even talk about this past Saturday watching the Auburn 8A game. The announcers joked. They said, "Do we have to have people here?" Like basically, Hugh Freeze would rather have a regular practice.
Yep.
Not this. Yep. I think all coaches are that way. So yeah, you're going to throw the ball more because you do want to put on a show. You want to learn some stuff about your team, obviously, but you also want to put on a show for the fans.
And then it's about the young guys. It's about getting some of those. So again, I mentioned those freshmen. You know, Georgia's got was the number one ranked recruiting class. So I think that those guys are going to have their first opportunity to suit up in front of the fans. You know, it's about showing the fans. Yes, it's about getting your team better and using that as the 15th, you know, spring practice session. But it's about entertaining those fans too, you know, and giving them a taste of what this team could look like in the fall. And part of that is going to be those true freshmen.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Everybody can check it out Saturday, 12 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern, over on ESPN Plus. Most of the SEC spring games are on streaming, but Palmer's been a lot of fun. I think we are all smarter about the Georgia football team now that I've had you on the show. We now know how the depth chart should look and all the different players. I appreciate you coming on as always, but listeners and viewers want to follow you online. Where can they find you and all the work you're doing?
Yeah, it's at Palmer Toms, PalmerThomBS. On social media, and then at Dogs HQ at DAWGSHQ. Like I said, we've got a great crew over there, an exciting time. You know, always stuff going on in the Georgia sports market, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. You know, certainly a lot of recruiting that's going to be happening this summer with official visits and Georgia, you know, continuing to be right up at the top of this sport that we all love. So, you know, great time to check it out, check out our work and check out the crew that we've got. You know, myself, Jake Rowe, Jeremy Johnson, Rusty Mansell, and Jake Roos. You know, I feel like for what it's worth, I feel like we've got the best crew out there, in the Georgia market. So come check us out, dogshq.com.
Not to be confused with the Jeremy Johnson we spoke about earlier. Just clearing that up for everybody. But anyways, Palmer, appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking again sometime down the road.
Absolutely.